This isn't Grandma's radio show. We talk about slobber knocking fights. Ground and pound. Rear naked chokes. Plug your ears if you don't want to hear it. It's coming up next, another brand new episode of Sucka Radio.
This is MMA fight music producer Mikey Ruckus, and you are listening to another edition of Sucka Radio with your host, Jeremy Brand. Be sure to catch all your mixed martial arts news and interviews and updates at www.mmasucka.com. I can't believe this.
Welcome back to another episode of Sucka Radio here on MMASucka.com, as well as Last Word on Sports.com. I am your host, as always, Jeremy Brand. This week we've got three guests lined up. Yes, that is right, three. Kicking things off, we've got Gary Manget. May not know the name. If you're a local cat up here in Vancouver, British Columbia, you will know the name. This guy has been on the local scene since 2008. As an amateur, he's turned pro. He's 8-1 in his pro career. He's fought numerous times under the Battlefield Fight League banner. He was their amateur champ. This guy has big things. He's trained with TriStar for a long time. He's back in Vancouver, training with Bibiano Fernandez, and down in Washington with Demetrius Mighty Mouse Johnson. And he just signed with one of the biggest sports marketing management teams in the universe, Paradigm Sports Management. So we're going to chat with him about that, what it means to him to be amongst the talent that they have. They have Conor McGregor, Chris Weidman, Michael Bisping, just to name a few. So we'll chat with him about that and his weekend in Vegas. Also on the show, Canadian Tim Haig. This guy is a veteran of the mixed martial arts scene. He has been on the Canadian scene for a long time. He's fought in the UFC, and he's back in action this Friday night against Tony Lopez, so we'll chat with him about that. And rounding out the show, my good buddy, Red Dragon Apparel owner, designer, and just straight-up badass motherfucker, and he loves MMA. Dave the Voice Boyce joins me to go over this past weekend's craziness, the three-night fight cards. My goodness, we've got an action-packed show. So before I get to my first guest, I'd like to thank my sponsors, ProAmBelts.com, FloatHouse.ca, Fusion Fight Gear, BC Kimonos, and that's about it. So, man, that was it. Yes, that was great. So this first interview with Gary St. Lion Manget is brought to you by True North Screen Printing. They are our newest advertising partner. These guys are located in Vancouver, BC. Check out TrueNorthScreenPrinting.ca for all your printing t-shirts, hats, whatever you want to do. Custom screen printing. Check them out. They're located in Vancouver, BC. Google True North Screen Printing, True North Printers. Google whatever you want, True North Screen Printing. They will have you covered. So without further ado, let's get right into my first guest, Gary Manget. Joining me now is a man from the local fight scene up here in British Columbia. He trains with the TriStar team in Montreal, and he just got signed to Paradigm Sports Management, you know, the same company that Conor McGregor is run by. Please welcome Gary St. Lion Manget to Sucka Radio. Gary, thanks for joining me, man.
No worries, man. Thank you for having me.
Now, a lot of people might wonder why we're having you on. There's been no fight announcements. There's been nothing like that. You haven't seen action since July of 2015. But you were down in Vegas this past week, hanging out with the man himself, Conor McGregor. You were signed to Paradigm Sports Management. Congratulations on that, dude.
Thank you, man. It's been a long time coming, and it's an amazing step forward, definitely.
How did that all come about? I mean, you obviously fight up here in Vancouver with Battlefield. You fought for Super Fight League. You've been training with TriStar. How did it all come about to sign with such a big company? I mean, these guys manage, As we said, Conor McGregor. They got Chris Weidman. They had Court McGee on a card earlier this week. They've got Michael Bisping. They've got the who's who of talent. How did this all come about?
Well, the biggest thing is that, like, you know me. You know what I've been trying to represent since day one, since 2008. is the South Asian community worldwide, and they're finally a management company that came along and saw the same vision that I did. They saw something that needs to be represented and hasn't been represented, just like Connor represented the Irish. The Indian population worldwide hasn't been represented, and that's what I've been working towards day one. Now, I've worked with a lot of managers and stuff like that, and not everyone's understood my vision. I've had to explain a lot. I've had to do a lot of the work while being in the gym. But these guys, as soon as we started speaking, I knew these individuals were the ones I want to go with because they understood the market better than I did, and that's finally something that kind of made me comfortable. And as we can see, you can see the clients that you just named off. This couldn't be a wrong move, especially in the place I am. I'm not in the USD yet, but for them to take me under their wing, they must see something, right? And I definitely see something with them.
Yeah, they're a great company. I've done business with that. Well, not business, but I've worked with them in the past in terms of, you know, lining up interviews and whatnot. They've always been great to deal with. Each and every guy on the team has a hand in Paradigm. It's, you know, it's not just the head honcho Adi Attar. It's like the entire team is a part of it, which it shows when it comes to their guys that they are a team.
Honestly, man, that was one thing that really opened my eyes this week. Like I said, I've been around other managers. They're usually the suit and tie guys. They're the guys who are on the sponsor and on the phone, but they don't really get involved too much into the fighters' camp. Now, when I rolled in, these guys picked me up on Thursday afternoon. Within 2 hours, I was in Chris Weidman's hotel room as these guys were sitting there in their sweats, cutting weight with Weidman. These guys, they didn't have to do that. They're sitting there doing whatever was necessary, running down to the MGM, grabbing more towels, sweating with them, and I'm just right away, I'm like, I've never seen anything like this. They're just like, they're grabbing any kind of food that was needed. They were working for the fighter, and I've never seen a management company like that. They're personally invested with every fighter, which was crazy because Weidman lost on the weekend, and I'm telling you, these guys were emotional. There was tears and a few of these guys' eyes. So that right away showed me that they're real people to these, to this management company. They're not just product. They're not just their percentage. They treat them like their own. These guys became family real quick just over the weekend. We got real close, and I'm really excited about what's going to come forward. I trust in it.
So was the plan for you to head down to Vegas just to meet with them, was the signing already done? The papers were just being signed when you got down there, and the weekend was, you know, icing on the cake.
Yeah, well, we had been talking for a little bit. They're like, you know what, we've been talking since September that they were like, you know what, we're going to try to get you down here for the Conor Jose Aldo fight. And to me, I was like, okay, I've heard a lot of managers talk a lot of things, right? I've had a lot of problems, so I didn't really pull my marbles too much in the fight. These guys made it happen, man. We got down there. They took care of everything. These guys took care of me, gave me the all-star treatment. I got to see the UFC in Vegas. It was my first trip to Vegas. And even though I wasn't fighting, they seemed like they're already going out of their way to work for me. They were making sure everything was comfortable. Everything was done. I was meeting the right people. I was being introduced to the right people. And it was just one of the most unforgettable weekends I think I've ever had. And it was everything is thanks to these guys, man. It was just, they took care of everything. They did everything. And that's, it kind of just all came together. Exactly what they said was going to happen is what they made happen.
So how eye-opening was it for you to see what went on with what they've done in comparison to what you see up here in Vancouver?
As in, like, the management side, or, like, as in...
In everything. The way they treat their fighter to the way they deal with lining up fights for guys. I mean, I'm sure you saw the ins and the outs of what these managers are doing for guys. And you said you've seen managers on the local scene. You've seen managers out in Montreal at TriStar when you're there. These guys obviously go above and beyond. What's sort of the difference? And obviously, you signed with them for a reason. You said that. You signed with them because they're like family. But... What sets them apart is the fact that they take so much pride in their guys?
That's a big part of it. That was the thing that leads me, since coming back, that puts me at most comfort. I can talk openly with them. Like, you know, we have our business side and we created our personal side. Like, you know, we joke with each other. We do our thing. But I think the biggest thing was like this UFC weekend, there's three cards back to back. They had at least one guy on every single one, if not two, three on every single one. And they were hustling, man. They'd be helping a guy cut weight for the next night. And there'd be one guy at the arena representing the guy, making sure he's there for him. There'd be another guy making sure all the marketing side and all the contracts and everything. Every guy was just on the go. Like, I didn't want to come in their way. They were just, and they were, even while this was all still going on, these guys were still like, you okay? Is everything okay? I'm like, man, you guys go do your thing. You guys, I'm here. I'm in Vegas for the first time. I can take care of myself. I'm good. And they were just like, it was amazing to see how they were just as a team were taking care of everything of all these guys. Tony Ferguson, Elias Theodoro, Weidman, Connor, Camardo, all these guys. There was, I think I'm missing like one or two maybe even.
Yeah,
they had Court, and Michael Bisping is doing his marketing stuff on the side. He's doing his analysis stuff. They were on the go, man. These guys, this was one of the busiest weekends, I said, for them. But they never, they embraced the challenge, and it was very cool to see.
It seems that
nice
is
to know that's what's going to happen when I'm going to be training, that this is what they're doing.
Yeah, no kidding. And that is cool to see, because you got to think, with them having guys like Connor and Chris Weidman, two champion, well, Connor the champion now, Chris the former champion, but having guys like that, it's really cool to see and hear that they're still going with the guys that aren't at the top of the totem pole. You know what I mean? So it does show that they're going to be in your corner no matter what.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, it's definitely, like, you know, we have big plans and stuff like that. Any idea I bring to them, as far-fetched as real as it seems to me and as far-fetched it would be if I told somebody else, it is a good idea to them. They're like, okay, let's see if we can push forward with it. Let's see if we can get in contact. I can bring any idea to these guys, and they're like, dude, that's kind of stupid. I've thrown so many different things at these guys, and right away they're like, you know what, let's look into it. Let's see where we can take this. Because it all starts from something, right? It all starts from something before it becomes something. And that's the biggest thing with these guys. And it's just a solid crew of guys. They're just well-balanced, different personalities, awesome, have embraced me right away. It was like we had known each other for a long time, and it was a very cool friendship that started with Adi, with Rajiv, Saya, Zach, Ryan, all these guys. And it was just the treatment, like, you know, like I don't know if you saw that, I was at the VIP party with Connor and stuff like that. They made all that stuff happen. I was like, they made all these things happen. I was just like, dude, this is insane. This is definitely motivational.
Yeah, I want to touch on that a little bit, but in a few seconds here. Now, we haven't seen you in action since July. I know a lot of the local guys up here, when they're at your caliber, I mean, you're 8-1 in your professional career, you're former amateur champ. Now, it's always tough for guys like you to find fights. Do you hope that having a marketing team or a management team behind you like them, it's going to be easier?
Yeah, definitely. Well, one thing I can say to you guys is I did have two fights lined up. I can't say for the day and stuff. One fight fell out just a couple weeks ago, and the other fight, the guy just pulled out last night. So I'm like, you know, I'm in camp. I just can't announce it. So, like, you know, I would have already had to tell you guys twice now that I've had two guys pull out. So what's the point, right? So I had a fight lined up, but and it was through these guys, was through Paradigm and stuff like that. They set it up, and the guy just happened to pull out last night. So now they're working on another backup plan. So these guys are on the go. As soon as something falls out, they're on it right away. And I'm just doing my part of putting in the hard work. I'm going to training right now. I'm training 2-3 times a day. I'm doing my part because I know my team is doing their part. So that's a good thing to know, because for many years, man, and you've seen me grow into the team. My banner comes full with sponsors. Those sponsors don't just show up at my door. I'm on the phone during these times when I'm driving and training. I'm on the phone. I'm doing my hustle. I'm talking to these companies. I'm trying to make them believe in me so I can continue training. Then when I get to training, I put that aside. Once I'm done training, I'm back on the phone. But now it's nice to know I can drop the phone and leave it to these guys now, and I can focus more on what I need to do.
Yeah, that's got to be feel so much better, because that's out of your hands now, man. You can focus 100% on training and know that your team at Paradigm is behind you. You're a tremendous talent as it is at 8-1. Do you see yourself growing that much more, because this just isn't weighing on you mentally, man? Your mental game is going to be through the roof now.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, like today I got to do more rest things, a lot more recovery stuff, more, like, you know, stuff that I can focus on my mind, because I know this stuff is out of my hands now. I just got to pass the contacts and stuff, and they got it taken care of, and they got their own people too. So, and I also trust that these guys will go to above and beyond to make whatever happen. I've passed off stuff to other managers, and they've gone lazy. They haven't followed up. They haven't done what I needed to do, where I don't trust it enough, where I'm like, you know what? I know I'm better off doing this on my own, because at least I have that belief that I got it on my own. So now I trust in these guys. I see it. I've seen it this weekend. I've seen them already making game plans. As soon as Conor's fight was over the next morning, the whole UFC was over, they're already making game plans for the next fighters. And I'm one of the next fighters coming up on the cards.
So I know we spoke. Obviously, you can't say where these pulled-out fights were with, but I'm sure you're looking for a bigger, larger organization. We're not going to see you back inside the Battlefield cage in your next fight, are we?
Not right now, no. As far as, like, honestly, man, at the end of the day, every fighter should consider themselves a business, because every promoter is a business. Every promoter is trying to make money off the two guys in the cage. And I think fighters need to come to a point where they need to know their value. Without the fighter, there is no show. So for me, it's not really about the promotion and where I fight. It's the value of what the promotion sees me as. So maybe it will be a promotion that someone like Battlefield, maybe it will be Battlefield, right? But right now, for the next fight, it's not with Battlefield. And for me, I just want my worth. Like, you know, a fighter should see his worth. A fighter puts in time. A fighter invests in his training, invests in his trainers. He should be making good money. And I'm a business at the end of the day. I'm a businessman before. I'm a fighter. And that's what it is. And now I got a strong business company behind me, and they think the exact same way. And we're going to do what we got to do, man. You are going to attract what you want to attract. That's it. You see your worth higher, you attract a higher worth. You want to see yourself as a lower worth, you attract a lower worth of yourself. It's up to you.
With that being said, the way the UFC is doing things these days, the worth isn't there so much for, you know, the younger guys, the sort of, you know, guys that are coming in as first-time fighters. Because of this whole Reebok deal, you're getting the 25 and 25 or whatever it is. So is that route sort of out of your window now that you're talking that you're a businessman first and foremost? Obviously, you want to be seen in front of the UFC. The UFC is going to be a goal for any young fighter out there because of the name. But as a businessman, are you thinking otherwise?
I was like you guys have known, I've said I wanted to be the person in the UFC, all this stuff like that. You know what? When I sat down with the management company, they're like, dude, you're cutting your options. Like, you are one in a billion at the end of the day. That's truly what it is. And they're like, you know, open up your options. So you know what? If UFC doesn't come right away, I'm okay with it. Like you just said, I'm a businessman. As long as I'm making money, as long as I can take care of my future family, I can take care of myself. It's taking care of everything I need. I have no more complaints anymore. I trust in the plan that these guys have laid out. We sat down, we brainstormed it, we Skyped and FaceTimed many times, we met in Vegas, and I trust in it. I really had to kind of open up my options and just keeping it one option. And that's exactly the reason that you just laid out right now, because of the newer fighter, because of the Reebok deal, and so I might be cutting myself short. I've invested 8 years into this nonstop, and I expect the payout to be exactly like any man would be when he's starting a business of any kind. I am a business at the end of the day, so this is my company. My name is my company, and I want to see a residual income off of it.
I've wanted to ask you something for a long time now. Well, not a long time, but for the past year or so, and it's never really come up in conversation, and I don't know how you want to answer it, but something that sort of piqued me the wrong way or ribbed me the wrong way was when, and I'm a fan of the guy, don't get me wrong, I really like him, I've chat with him numerous times, but when Arjun Bular came into the cage and he had interviews and whatnot, and he was saying how he's the first Sikh MMA fighter out there, the first Indian MMA fighter, he's going to be the first Indian MMA fighter to be in the UFC and whatnot, how did that make you feel? Because you've been grinding at this for the longest time.
Yeah, for sure. When I heard that, I kind of just laughed at it. I'm like, if anybody's been following, like, I was getting tweets and stuff about it. But listen, I got nothing against the guy. Like, you know, he's doing his thing, he's doing that. If he's the first one to make it. But like I said, it's not really about the first that does it. It's the one who does it best. Okay? And I know what kind of entertainment I bring to the cage. I know what I bring to the cage. And I'm sure he brings good stuff too, right? So it's really who does it the best. I'm just trying to represent my vision. I'm trying to inspire the world. I'm trying to inspire my people. So he came into the game, good for him. Let him do his thing. Let him say what he wants to say. That's cool. Like, you know, everybody knows the MMA scene. They know there isn't just one guy. And they know that he's not the first guy. So that's what I'll leave it at there. All the best to the guy, though, right?
For sure. Now, you said that you think your team has things lined up for you. You've had a few fights pulled out. When do you hope to be back inside the cage?
By the first month in January.
Nice. We can't wait for that either. Now, finally, before I let you go here, we got to talk that after party. You were in numerous videos out there. I don't know if I'm sure you saw them because the rest of the media did. The rest of the internet world did. Conor McGregor rapping and whatnot. You right by his side. How the hell did that feel, man? That's got to be a friggin' cool experience.
He was there for about 45, 50 minutes. And it just happened to be, I was searching that VIP section for maybe 5-10 minutes because it was so packed, man. You got to think about it. There's one brown guy amongst maybe 2,000 Irish people, and they're all trying to cram in there. And my management, they took me in there, and they wanted me to introduce me to Conor because he was cutting weight and stuff the night before, so I couldn't really meet him and stuff like that. So, yeah, it just wanted to introduce me because we are under the same management and stuff now. And Audie was right there beside us, and he passes him the mic. He's like, listen, Conor, you need to say something on the mic to these people. They've been waiting here forever. And Rough Riders Anthem was playing, and this guy starts singing along, and I'm just looking at him going, do I sing along? Do I not? I didn't really know what to do. And I guess TMZ was recording at the time, TMZ Sports, so the next day at MGM, I'm just thinking about everything that's happened. I'm sitting in the gym, I'm doing my training session, and my phone just starts blowing up. They're like, dude, you're on TMZ Sports. I'm like, there's another listed item that I always wanted to make it, but it was insane, man. It was cool. Just the guy's a wicked guy. He's a very down-to-earth guy. Even having the belt, even being in that moment and stuff like that, conversated a bit and just toasted with him, toasted to a good future and everything like that. And the moment was there. The moment was good. And I look forward to running into him quite a bit more. So, and probably through my management company, it will happen quite a bit more.
Is that something that you would like to do, train with Conor, if that's a possibility?
Oh, who wouldn't, right? Who wouldn't? SVG, that'd be a cool trip. But I'm pretty happy with my team. Like, you know, I'm going down this Friday to go spar with Demetrius. Viviano's up there in Washington right now, getting ready for his title defense. I got good people here. I'm on Titan MMA for my jiu-jitsu. I'm with Josh Chauncey for my pad work. Jeremy Kennedy I'm working with and stuff like that. So there's a lot of good talent here and just on this side where I don't have to leave home. I don't have to go to Ireland or SBG or Vegas or anything like that. But it's good. It's good. Nice to make these kind of small trips and stuff like that. I got to train at the Mayweather gym this weekend. It was my first time ever. Got to train with the uncle, and that was a dream come true. So that Saturday was definitely a Saturday I won't forget for a very long time. With the fight, with training with the Mayweathers, and it was very motivating. It made me feel like things are moving in the right direction. Everything doesn't sometimes show with dollars and doesn't show with accomplishments, but sometimes you just have to sit back and be like, look around and see what your company is, see who you're around. Something is moving in the right direction. And I really had to take that moment and be like, you know what? Like, some days I'm like, is this going anywhere? It really is. It really is. So
sounds that way, man. I'm super proud of you. I'm super happy. When I saw that picture and whatnot on Facebook and Twitter, or where Facebook, I believe, when I found out that the papers were signed and that you were working with that company, man. Seriously, man, I was really, really proud. And you know, I've had your back since day one, dude. I've been with you from the very get go, and that is so cool to see that you're working with a company like Paradigm. So Gary, man, thanks a lot for joining me. Just let people know where they can get a hold of you in the social media game, and anything you got going on, any sponsors you want to give shout outs to. Obviously, thank Paradigm and whatnot. The floor is yours, man.
Yeah, first thing, big shout out to Paradigm for even believing in a small town kid like me that could take it. Who knows where we're going to take it in 2016, but it's definitely going to be up. My social media is at Saint Lion, SaintLion. That's also my Twitter also. Follow along because the ride's about to get pretty crazy if it hasn't already started picking up at the end of this year. So let's see where it keeps going. at the end of the day, I'm just trying to inspire you guys. I'm just trying to make you guys believe, law of attraction, believe in everything that can happen. And you got to follow it up with hard work. Right now, I'm trying to believe in what's going to happen, but I got to go put in my work. And that goes for anything. And that's it. And I hope you guys can just witness it, follow along, witness it. Jeremy, you've been following me since 2008, since the first battlefield, since my amateur career. And I just want to make you guys proud, man. It means a lot to hear from you because you've watched it since day one. You've followed me. And it's cool. It's nice to see where it's all going through all the struggle and the hard days and the days I didn't want to do this anymore. And it's cool. It's definitely amazing.
It is, man. Good luck and can't wait to see you get back inside the cage, man. Have fun at training tonight.
Definitely, bro. Thank you.
This guy has been a part of the Canadian mixed martial arts scene since 2006. He's got a fight coming up this Friday night, Unified 25 for the heavyweight title. Please welcome Tim, the Thrashing Machine Hag, to Sucker Radio. Tim, thanks for joining me, man.
Hey, no problem. It's a pleasure joining you.
Now, you know, I'm not one of those guys that's just getting up on Tim Hag. I've been a guy that's been around the mixed martial arts scene here in Canada for quite some time. I've known about the Thrashing Machine since his King of the Cage days. Now, you've gone through some serious ups and downs along the way, but as of right now, keeping up with your social media and stuff, man, it looks like you're in the best shape of your life.
Yeah, I'd say I'm definitely in the best shape of my life. I trained harder than ever, and just like before the Bozer fight, I wanted to make zero mistakes during the training camp, so I just went to the gym, went home, ate, slept, and trained, and that's all I've done for the last 6 to 8 weeks, and I think it's paid off. I feel great.
Let's say this then. Do you wish that you had made those changes to your camp earlier in your career?
Yeah, definitely. You know, we all go through personal struggles, and you know, some of us handle them very well. Some of us don't handle them the greatest, and you know, I'm not perfect. So, you know, I'm just happy to be where I'm at and moving forward. I'm in a good headspace. I'm confident. I'm in shape, and I'm taking care of business outside of the gym as well. So, I'm in a good spot right now.
Was there ever a point amongst those days where you did have your downtimes that you considered stepping away from the cage?
Yeah, you know, I've taken odd jobs in the oil field throughout my career just to you know, keep the money coming in. But I always just wind up back in the gym and training for another fight. So I figured if that's where my heart is at, and if that's what I'm going to do, then I'm not going to be as good as possible. So I just try to put everything into it. I'm going to go out there and I'm going to fight like I train. And I'm not going to leave any questions. But after,
now, you're taking on Tony Lopez. This guy's a veteran of the sport as well. What do you know about your opponent?
Yeah, Tony's been around for years. I've always had my eye on him. He was one of the top dogs in King of the Cage in the States when I was top dog in Canada. And I just felt like our paths would eventually cross. So I actually asked Sonny Serene for the fight with Tony because I've always thought, I'm being 100% honest here, I've always thought Tony was a little bit better than me. But I wanted a good challenge, so I asked for the fight, and it's on.
You say you think you've always thought he was a little bit better than you. In what ways?
You know, he's just been doing it longer. He's been training longer than me. I thought his kickboxing was a little better than mine. And, you know, he's been on the ground doing jiu-jitsu for longer than I have, so, I mean, it's got to be, he's going to have a little more knowledge on the ground than I do. So it's a challenge. I like challenges. I asked for the Travis Yu fight back in the day when nobody thought I could beat him either.
Fair enough. But he walks around as a light heavyweight. You're a true heavyweight. The weight advantage must be something that you're going to hold to take forward in this one for sure.
Oh, yeah, I'm definitely going to have the weight advantage, and I'm thinking the strength advantage. I'm in good shape, and I'm a strong guy in the gym. So You know, he'll have his advantages, I'll have mine. It's going to be a fun fight for the fans.
This is, as you said, you're in the best shape of your career. I've noticed that, as I said. Usually you cut down to 265, correct? Is this going to be one where you're walking in there at 265, or is there going to be much of a cut?
I was 279 this morning, so I've got 14 pounds to go. It's not a big cut, but it's still got to get the job done. And on Thursday at 2 o'clock, I'll be 265, and then going back into the cage Friday night, I'll probably be anywhere from 275 to 280.
Wow. That's awesome. Moving forward, after this fight, what goals do you have for 2016? I mean, it's a new calendar year. You're saying you're looking the best you have. You're feeling good in camp. What are some goals you have for 2016?
Well, I don't like to look too far ahead. First and foremost, I just want to beat Tony Lopez, and I've done everything and prepared accordingly to do so. And I feel that what he used to be stronger than me at, I think I'm ready to surpass his capabilities, you know, standing it on the ground and take him out.
Yeah, you don't want to look too far ahead. I know something that you've always said is that you did want that call to get back to the UFC, but with the way things are going these days, with, you know, the Reebok deal, IVs and all that kind of stuff, the way they're just running thing these days with the UFC and sponsors and all that kind of stuff, does that sort of set things a little bit differently for you in terms of wanting to get back there?
I just want to fight. I don't really care where I'm fighting, as long as the checks are signed. And you know, of course, the bigger fights the better, and I'm not doing this just to do it. I'd like to do it to make some cash. So, like we already established, I'm in great shape, and I'm ready to make a real run at things here. So we'll see what happens on the 18th on Friday.
Something that you did a couple months back, I guess, was bare knuckle fighting. What made you take that up?
I just saw an opportunity. The term bare knuckle stuck out to me. So I got flown over to England to set up a fight. Everything was going well. Promotion was going well. We were starting to draw a lot of attention. But 3 weeks out from the fight, something that we kind of both overlooked in setting it up. I didn't have a work visa, and they weren't really trying to help me very much with getting the work visa. So I was doing all the research on my own, and I found out that it would take at least 4 weeks to come in. So I figured that I would pull from the fight so they had time to find a replacement. And I guess they found a guy from the States that came over. But that's all I really have to say about that. I don't, you know, they became unprofessional to deal with, and I'll leave it at that.
For sure. Now, looking back at your career, is there anyone that you've fought that you'd like to get back in there with to sort of avenge a loss or something like that?
I was thinking about that on the way to the gym today. I was thinking about how I would love to have a rematch with Todd Duffy. But we'll see, you know, one fight at a time.
Definitely. Now, I personally wasn't too impressed with his last outing. I mean, he was swinging for the fences rather wildly. That's not something that you tend to do. You like to throw precision strikes and whatnot. Is that what made you think that?
No, it's just like anybody. Like, I mean, I just beat Tanner Moser in 6 seconds, and he wants a rematch. So anybody who gets beat quickly, I know Jose Aldo is going to want a rematch. I want to rematch against Todd. I want to see what a real fight would look like against him.
For sure. Now, Friday night, Unified MMA, what can fans expect to see out of you in that cage when they're watching?
Friday night, the fans can expect me to push the pace. I'm ready to rock and roll, and I've trained super hard. So, I mean, I'm a handful for anybody, and when I'm ready to push the pace, it just multiplies things.
He is the thrashing machine, Tim Haig. You can catch him Friday night, Unified MMA against Tony Lopez. Tim, man, just let people know where they can get a hold of you in the social media universe if they want to follow along. Any sponsors you have, shout-outs for, the floor is yours, man.
Sure, I'd just like to thank Nuo Drywall, Wizard Lake Marine, Summit Cabinets, Home Hardware Athabasca, and Straight Rate Distribution. And people can just find me on Facebook at Tim Haig. And, you know, I'm a friendly guy. I'll talk to you if you want to chat about MMA or whatever. And on Instagram, it's at Left Hook Haig.
Tim, good luck on Friday night, man.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
This past weekend was action-packed, three nights of UFC, so I figured I'd bring on a buddy of mine to chat about these past few nights. Not a guy who's in the mixed martial arts media scene, but he does have a podcast of his own, a show on SiriusXM, and a friggin' clothing line, so I figured we could chat some fights. Dave the Voice Boyce joins the show right now. Dave, thanks for joining me, man.
Jeremy, thanks for having me on, my friend.
For sure. Now, the first time we chat was about your Ellis Mania experience. This time I wanted to bring you on to talk about the fights from this past weekend, and there were some damn good ones. I know I texted you after UFC 194, I said some damn good fights, and you said, or meh, or something like that. I'm guessing you weren't overly excited by UFC 194.
Yeah, I believe you texted me right after the main event. I was happy with the outcome of the fight itself. I myself, you know, I was kind of on the same page as Conor McGregor. I would have liked to have seen it just go a little bit longer. I would have liked to have seen at least 30 seconds, 45. Is 60 seconds asking too much?
Never, never. Women ask for more than that.
I most do, doesn't mean they get it.
All right, let's backtrack a little bit. Thursday night, the ultimate, not the ultimate fighter, it was ultimate fight night, UFC fight night on Fight Pass, which was also in Canada on the Fight Network. I mean, fuck, they confuse the shit out of us Canadians. There's no point in having UFC Fight Pass if we have the Fight Network, so who knows. But the main event, Rose Namajunas, Thug Rose. You know, I thought Paige VanZant was in for a little too much in this one when she got pulled. The Joanne Calderwood fight got pulled and Rose stepped in. I mean, Calderwood is damn good, but Rose is, she's a tough cookie. And she outclassed Paige VanZant in every way possible. On the ground, on the feet, she was taking her down. Did you expect the fight to go this way?
Yeah, I did. You know, Paige is one of those girls that they're trying to groom. But when the her other opponent pulled out, I was really shocked that they put Rose in there. Rose was a girl who they had actually was one of the first people they started to groom on the actual reality show. She was the one that went all the way to the finals. She fought for the belt. And we had already seen what she had to offer. And she's a very, very tough woman, a competitor. Paige is only 21 years old, though. She doesn't have a lot of time on the mat. She doesn't have a lot of time standing. I mean, it was just rushed. And I don't know really what they were thinking by putting Rose in there. I thought they were starting to take a little bit more of the boxing approach to a few of their fighters, like slowly bring them along, feed them the proper competitors, build them up, get them a name, not just squash them. You know, this isn't pro wrestling.
Yeah, and that they didn't do. I mean, VanZant has looked good in her last outings, but this one she got basically whitewashed, man. I mean, she had absolutely nothing for Rose. This fight could have been stopped on numerous occasions. She looked like frigging Gumby at times in there. I was surprised that she got out a few of those submissions.
She really showed a lot of heart and toughness, but heart and toughness does not beat technique. And that's what happened in this fight. She just truly got beat by a better fighter.
That she did. Now, one guy that, you know, they were poising Paige VanZant and Sage Northcutt sort of on that same level. Two prospects that they're trying to build up. Well, Sage was on this card as well. And he fought Cody Pfister in an interesting matchup because Cody took him down initially, like right off the hop in the very first round, was landing some serious ground and pound, and the referee stood them up. Were you as shocked by this as the rest of us? Because that was a brutal stand-up.
The only stand-up that I've seen worse than this in MMA was when Roy Nelson got pulled off of Andrei Arlovsky during the fight card back for Affliction. That was the only other time I screamed at the TV, wondering in awe what the ref was doing. And it was kind of one of those things. It's like, is that a UFC ref? Or is that like, you know what I mean? Is that a Nevada Athletic State Commission ref? Or to see if somebody paid him?
Yeah, because, Cody was actually having his way with Sage. Sage couldn't do anything from the bottom. He was landing some nice elbows from the top. And it sort of was the turn of the tides right there, because right when they stood up, Sage took him down. He pounded on him, and then the second round comes around, and it was a completely different story.
One thing that fight did show, though, was that he is a white belt on his back.
He
might be a blue belt or a purple belt when he is his top position, but, I've been training in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu for close to 7 years, almost eight, and we all know what to do in those positions. You put your feet on the hips, you pull, you make space, you push on the head, you put back against the cage. He didn't do anything. He just tried to hold on.
Yeah.
That isn't, at this stage of MMA, that isn't going to get you far.
Now, I know a lot of people were hoping he would lose just because he's that pretty boy, Zach Morris-style look. Are you hoping they do what you thought they would have done with Paige and groom him to be that star? Do you hope they push him up the ranks slower rather than as fast as they can?
Well, I think it's all about building stars. It's all about getting people that not necessarily the hardcore fans want to see, but the average fan, I guess you could say. He's not for you and I.
No.
But he is for the masses. He's a good poster boy. He's a cartoon character with spiky hair, a big smile. He looks like he's cut from granite. If they can... my personal opinion is shave his head, give him a couple scars and some good tattoos, and hey, we got an okay fighter. But at this stage, he has a long way to come, a long way to go. And that's one thing that came from this fight. His ground game is a white belt. He's really green. He may have trained in karate all those years, and wow, he's like Wonder Boy Thompson in... his antics at the end with his flips, but that doesn't mean he's going to go far. He's got a lot of work to do. I would love that the UFC can build a few more stars. Right now, it's honestly just resting on the back of Conor McGregor. This isn't the time where they had a Matt Hughes, a Randy Couture, a Chuck Liddell, a Tito Ortiz, or even a time when they had a Brock Lesnar, a Chael Sonnen, Anderson Silva, George St. Pierre. They literally have one fighter right now after Ronda lost. So I would love for them to build up other fighters. I don't want to see the sport go away. And to continue on the wave that they're on, they have to build stars. So if this is the kid that is going to be the next thing, that's fine. In my opinion, he just needs to work on his game.
Definitely. Now, the next night, we had the Ultimate Fighter 22 finale. One fight that was absolutely awesome was Tony Ferguson, Edson Barboza. These two brought it to the cage. Ferguson locking in that Bravo choke extra quick, super slick submission, taking home 100K in fight bonuses for this fight. This one was awesome, eh?
It didn't go the way I thought it was going to go. I thought Edson Barboza was going to win this fight. That upkick really changed the whole dynamic of the fight. They got overshadowed, I believe. Everybody talked about the darts, and everybody talked about how people stayed in the pocket and just kind of swung at each other. But I truly think that was the upkick, the illegal upkick that Ferguson had a point taken away, I believe.
Yep.
I think that changed the entire dynamic of the fight. And if that hadn't happened, there may have been a different outcome. I don't think because he was on roller skates. He didn't get off of them. He seemed, half there after that.
Definitely. The co-main event, Ultimate Fighter finale fight, Ryan Hall, Artem Lobov. Went as planned in terms of Ryan Hall showing off his grappling abilities, his jiu-jitsu game, but it was boring as hell, other than the first minute where he had that wicked back take. Do you?
I absolutely disagree. See, I love the chess. I love jiu-jitsu for that reason. Obviously, the average fan was just bored to death. The way he would roll in to the knee bar and grab a hold of the leg and then bring him down, he pulled guard, and he couldn't do anything about it. There was nothing. He pulled guard. Nowadays, usually if a guy is top position, you're in your guard, you can lay elbows, you can drop elbows, you can punch. He had nothing. That's how good Hall's jiu-jitsu was. He didn't want to put one arm anywhere near his face in the fear of getting armbarred.
Yeah.
It was gorgeous. Yeah. It was artistry. It truly was. That's me. I love the art. Any drunk moron can throw a punch outside of a bar. We've all seen that. Nobody, unless you've trained for years, is rolling into a leg lock like that.
Yeah.
Nobody is pulling guard, pulling somebody down, and just putting the fear of God in them so they didn't even want to throw an elbow or a punch in the thought of getting armbarred. There's so much technique that went into his game. Sure, it's not for everybody, and I do know, like, I have other friends that don't share the same opinion as me about Ryan Hall, but wow, man, he was probably the most impressive fighter the entire night to me.
You see, I'll agree with you. I mean, his jiu-jitsu game is on point. He's one of my favorite grapplers in the grappling scene. I have a bunch of his DVDs, the 50-50 one. I have his triangle DVD. But this fight, for some reason, I did find boring, and that's in comparison to, I guess, Damian Maia's fight on Saturday night, which we'll touch on in a few minutes here. But the main
event was more of a grappling exchange, though, the Damian Maia fight.
It was.
Those were two experienced grapplers going at it, and just one had a little bit leg up on the other, nullifying most of the submissions, where it was just straight grappling.
Yes.
This was one where
one-sided.
The Ryan Hall fight, it was just, he was light years ahead of his opponent when it came to Brazilian jiu-jitsu. Light years.
There you have it, light years. Main event, Frankie Edgar, Chad Mendes. Edgar knocking out Chad Mendes. And this is something that I didn't think would happen. I thought if Chad Mendes were to win the fight, it would be him knocking Frankie Edgar out. And I thought if Frankie Edgar won, it would be him pitter-pattering, doing what Frankie Edgar does, winning a five-round decision, taking it to Chad Mendes immensely. But I didn't see him knocking him out. This fight was... my goodness, I was absolutely shocked. Frankie Edgar turned me into an even bigger fan.
I did pick Frankie to win this fight. I did not think he'd win by knockout. I agree with you that if it ended, what was it? How far into the fight? A minute and a half?
Yeah, it was less than 2 minutes.
Yeah, like I figured at the 2 minute mark, if I looked down and I heard that somebody got knocked out, for me to look up, I would think that that'd be Frankie out cold and Chad raising his hand. I did not think Frankie would knock him out in that time period, but I did have Frankie for the win. I don't think many competitors can keep up with Frankie's pace, and that's where his advantage comes in, not to mention his technique. I got in an argument with somebody about Frankie Edgar because they were going against him. They were going for Chad Mendes. I have one name. All I have to say is BJ Penn.
Yeah.
Frankie beat BJ Penn 3 times. BJ is a legend, an icon in the sport of MMA, and Frankie beat him. I mean, the laundry list. People thought that he would get crushed against Gray Maynard the next 2 times they fought. What happened there? Everybody just always goes against Frankie. And even the fights that Frankie has lost, now I'm not even that biased. I'm a Frankie fan, but I don't even think he ever lost those fights. The Benson Henderson fight. I truly don't think he lost that fight. I don't. I still thought he beat Aldo in their fight. Now, obviously, these can go either way. That's the thing. They were all split decision victories for the other person. But outside of the very first Gray Maynard fight, I don't think Frankie's lost a fight in the UFC. That's just my opinion.
Yeah, he's looked damn good, and most recently, especially, he's looked really good. We're going to talk about him again in a little bit as well.
Another he did change up his style for this fight, though.
He did.
I mean, normally, like you said, he circles on the outside. He throws those tripping leg kicks to the back leg. He, bam, 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 out. Bam Bam, like his in and out speed is usually what confuses most of the fighters. He stood in the pocket there and just swung. I don't know if it was him thinking like he needed an impressive win to get the title shot, but he changed his game up. Or maybe it was just to stifle Chad Mendes. Like, oh shit, he's standing in the pocket.
Yeah, no kidding. Saturday night, UFC 194, the big fight card went down. Ireland came to Las Vegas. And this one was a pretty good one. I thought the fight card overall as a whole was really well done. Kicking off the pay-per-view main card, Max Holloway, Jeremy Stephens. Holloway does work in this fight, man. This guy is on an 8-fight winning streak. If Frankie Edgar doesn't get the next shot at Jose Aldo and Aldo gets the rematch, then this is the fight that needs to happen, is Max Holloway versus Frankie Edgar, because this guy is on a roll in the division, man.
You know what? That's kind of mean. I just don't think it's fair. I think Max is on a tear, and to have that tear stifled by getting beat by Frankie, I think you're just being mean.
Well, yes and no. I actually personally think that it should be Connor versus Frankie. This is just my personal opinion. Connor versus Frankie and Max Holloway versus Jose Aldo.
See, if Ronda's getting an immediate rematch and Anderson Silva got an immediate rematch, I'm sorry. Aldo deserves an immediate rematch. Anderson Silva lost by knockout. Got an instant rematch against Weidman. Ronda Rousey has been knocked out by Holly Holm. She's getting an instant rematch. If they don't give Aldo an instant rematch, unless he turns it down, which, you know, maybe he wants a little bit of time off, I think it's bullshit.
I think it is, too.
There's a lot of bias going on in that company if he does not get an instant rematch.
I always thought there was a championship clause, to be honest with you, that if a champion loses, then they do have the option of that automatic rematch. But I could be wrong, and I think with the fact that this fight ended so quick, I wasn't going to get to the main event yet, but let's talk about it because
we can go back to the other ones. We were only talking about the instant rematch aspect.
True, but let's talk about this a little bit, because 13 seconds. And no, Jose Aldo didn't say this wasn't a fight. The translator supposedly made up that whole point. Bloody Elbow got word that wasn't exactly the translation that Jose Aldo said. But 13 seconds at that, it wasn't really a fight. He threw a couple punches. In fact, he threw one punch that landed. And Conor McGregor knocked him out right in 13 seconds. This was not a fight. The two need to get back in there and get her done.
I don't see the outcome going any different. I would just like to see it last a little bit longer.
And that's me picking Jose Aldo. Like, I personally thought Jose Aldo was going to win this fight. And in the rematch, I think I would still pick Conor McGregor.
You know, it was one of those things. In the back of my brain, I believe the head... we spoke about it prior to the fights, and I did say that I thought Aldo was going to win. But in my heart, I kind of thought differently. And I really changed my mind during the stare downs right before the fight started.
Yeah.
When Aldo wouldn't lift his head up.
But he never has.
Pardon?
But he never has. He's always like that.
But he just stared at the ground. He literally looked scared.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not many fighters look scared. He looks scared.
Which is crazy because he hasn't lost in 10 years. Yeah, it's wild. It was a wild night of I can't even believe it happened. It's still one of those moments where, oh my god, I was sitting in my living room. I watched it at home. I was sitting in my living room with like a bunch of people here, like family and whatnot, and I was literally like, oh my god, when it happened. Holy fuck.
You know, it's funny because it was up there for me when George lost to Matt Serra for the first time, or when Chuck Liddell lost to Rampage.
Yeah.
It was just one of those like, what? Huh? What do you mean it's over?
No kidding.
It was like the most stunned, I think this was the most stunned I ever was. I've ever been. Because
wow.
It was out.
Yeah.
You know, George got rocked. I guess it was really close to the Rampage Chuck one because he just got clipped on the chin and went out, but came to immediately, just like Aldo did.
I thought this one was just, It was amazing the way Connor moved, though. If you watch it in slow motion, he literally moved to the side of the punch. He stepped outside like you're supposed to do, and boom. It wasn't a giant punch that he threw. It was just precise.
Precision beats speed?
Precision beats power or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. He was quite poetic at the end there. It's like, I don't know who wrote all that, because obviously he didn't, but he used it well.
He seems to do that. He's got that talent. Now the co-main event, Chris Weidman getting upholded by Luke Rockhold. I know after listening to your show, This Boy's Life, you were picking Chris Weidman to win this fight. I was picking Luke Rockhold. I know you think the guy's a douche.
No, I did think that Luke was going to win. It was just I didn't want him to.
Yeah, okay.
That's the truth. So my and I was betting with my co-host on the show, the Murmur, Mark Murdoch. So I was just going with my heart, and I do bet with my heart a lot. I should say I didn't like Luke Rockhold. After watching the Embedded series leading up to the fight, as well as listening to him in the interviews afterwards, the fact that he was on antibiotics all through his training camp, he had staph infection. He cried at the end when he won. Like, he fell down on his back.
Yeah.
He had tears in his eyes. I have a different opinion of this guy now. I do. And obviously, you know, like, when a camera gets put in your face, people say some stupid shit. That's just, you get nervous and you... A bravado comes out, especially when you're a fighter, and it's like you become holier than thou, and you say some shit that maybe isn't who you are. But I do feel over the course of the Embedded, they did give you a better idea of who Luke Rockhold is, and I don't dislike him anymore. I don't.
He's just a California surfer dude, man.
Yeah, he's been discredited from the beginning. I mean, to be honest, if I'm going to dislike Luke Rockhold, I should not like Uriah Faber either.
Yeah.
Because I love Uriah, but he doesn't say anything. The shit that comes out of his mouth is worse than the stuff that comes out of Luke's mouth. But I just love Uriah. So, you know. So at the end of the day, I just felt the better man won. He just did. And I kind of thought that's kind of how I thought the fight was going to go. I just wasn't going to bet against Weidman. One of the reasons I didn't want to bet against Weidman is the man that dethroned the legend, Anderson Silva, I would have liked for there to be a story that went on, like a long reign, because he took out our, like, quote-unquote, god of the sport.
Yeah.
He took out the first fighter that ever fought in the Matrix.
Yeah.
Connor has somehow entered the Matrix, and he can dodge punches and clip you with a little one and make you go to sleep. But Anderson was the first one. Like, the fights that you see, like what he did to Stephen Bonner, what he did to Forrest Griffin, you know, like.
And those two guys are guys that are above his weight class.
Exactly. Bigger men than him. And he just, like, woof, woof, and just moved out of the way and
put
them and dropped them. So I wanted the guy that beat Anderson to have, a good reign with that belt, so that there was a reason why Anderson Silva lost. Not just that he got old, not just that he got slow, but that guy was that good.
So we spoke about Aldo getting immediate rematch. We spoke about Rousey potentially getting an automatic rematch, which it sounds like is almost a lock as of this point. We spoke about Anderson getting the rematch. Does Chris Weidman get the rematch?
I don't think they're going to give it to him, no.
No.
That was too decisive. If it had been, and that's the thing, and the other three that we just mentioned were all quick knockouts and fluke knockouts. Anderson's, he was clowning around. Ronda, I feel, doesn't deserve the rematch. I really don't, because she got decisively beat in the first round and then knocked out in the second round. Aldo got clipped. You know, there's always that, they say it, he just got clipped. You know, it was 13 seconds. It's a flash knockdown. But, yeah. I think for Chris Weidman's confidence, I think they should put him in there against a lesser fighter.
Yeah.
Let him beat the crap out of him, maybe a Tim Kennedy or somebody along those lines. and build up his confidence again before he gets another crack at the shot.
So the guy who will likely get the shot at Luke Rockhold is Yoel Romero, who beat Jacare Souza prior
to this.
You mean
the cheater?
The cheater, exactly. Do you think he has anything for the champ?
No, not at all. He might cheat his way to winning because he seems to cheat a lot. He cheated to beat Tim Kennedy. One of the worst things I've ever seen in MMA was when he wouldn't get off his stool. His coaches had to push him off of his stool.
Almost happened again this fight.
Yeah, and then he held onto the cage, and then the way they restarted that fight, I don't know, man. That's just, he's always doing something to put an asterisk beside his win. So I have no love for him whatsoever. And he only has one round in him. His output after that first round was so slow. He's a real-life He-Man doll. It takes so much oxygen to make that muscle move. Luke will destroy him with body kicks. He will get crumbled and then knocked out.
You heard it here. All right, so this whole weekend as a whole, three fight cards went down. Other than the Conor McGregor flash knockout, what was the one pinnacle moment that you took home from the three events?
You know what? The thing that I walked away from it was the loser. So Aldo as well as Chris Weidman, I never feel sorry for fighters. That's their life. That's the game. It's what they've chosen to do. It's the first time ever I truly, truly felt sorry for both of them and the way they lost. One so decisively and one with the flash knockdown. To see both of them cry in the agony of defeat, like I said, I've never cared before, but I truly cared, and I felt their pain. And that never happens to me. I why would I care whether these millionaires lose? But I did. The way Chris Weidman's dad at the end was like, "He's still my boy."
Yeah. You know what? That's the thing is I have never been a Chris Weidman fan. I saw him fight up here in Vancouver way back in the day. I think he was on UFC 115 on the preliminary card. And even when he beat Anderson Silva twice, I was still never a fan. Something about him just didn't make me like him. And after this fight, in defeat, I actually liked the guy.
You know, when he got the fight for Anderson Silva, he was living in his parents' basement. He had a baby on the way. I believe his house was destroyed by Katrina.
Yeah.
Not Katrina.
By the flood
disaster destroyed New York.
Yeah.
He lost his house. And him winning that belt changed his life. So, regardless now, his life will never be the same. Watch the embeddeds. He lives in a beautiful house. He now has three children. He's still a top five fighter, so his paydays are going to be, he's going to be just fine for his next five fights. Win or lose, he's going to be fine for his next five fights. And then, you know, he gets to open a gym. He's going to have a good life after this. And all it took was that one win against Anderson Silva. So like him, don't like him, he's going to be fine moving forward.
All right, Dave, we went over the most epic UFC weekend in Zuffa history, I believe. Just let people know where they can get a hold of you.
You know what, though? Before you kick me off, I'll give you my social media and all that type of stuff. How amazing is it that the UFC can come back and this Saturday give us the fight card they're giving us?
Oh, I know.
This Saturday, we have Rafael dos Anjos versus Donald Cerrone. We have Junior dos Santos versus
Alistair Overeem.
The original Incredible Hulk, Alistair Overeem. We have Nate Diaz versus Michael Johnson. That there is like that. How are they able to do that?
I know.
How are they able to give us card after card like that? Isn't the next card, Robbie Lawler versus,
Carlos Condit?
Yeah. I mean, we are living in a great time if you're an MMA fan.
And
do
not,
you remember how it... Go ahead, sorry.
And not just the main cards either, man. The prelims on this upcoming UFC on Fox card are pretty damn good as well. I mean, Charles Oliveira versus Miles Jury is a great fight. Sarah Kaufman's on the card. It's one of those ones that's, like, stacked from top to bottom.
I don't watch sports, and I was always jealous of a football fan and a hockey fan because they got to watch their, they got to fill their appetite on a regular basis. I have never been happier to be an MMA fan. We're living in a good time.
Is your significant other happy as you being an MMA fan?
No. No, that doesn't go hand in hand. But she's less happy with the two radio shows that I do. I have a podcast, This Boy's Life, that you can download on iTunes, as well as I have now been moved to Thursday nights, 4 o'clock Pacific Standard Time on SiriusXM Channel 41, Faction with Jason Ellis. They refer to this as the drive time. So this is the prime time of radio every Thursday that I get to spew my thoughts and theories on the world. So she's less happy about that than she is over the MMA.
All right, you gave those two tidbits. You're a busy man. Just let people know where they can get a hold of you social media-wise. Anything RDS you want to shout out? Just the floor is yours, man.
So I'm also an owner and a clothing designer for a skateboard apparel brand called RDS or Red Dragon Apparel. As well as you can follow me on Instagram at This Boy's Life, Twitter at This Boy's Life. You can also check out my website, This Boy's Life, maybe pick up a t-shirt.
Dave, man, it's been a pleasure. We'll definitely have you on again to chat some fights. I'm sure it won't be an action-packed weekend with 3 fight cards, but hey, you never know. The UFC seems to be doing big things these days. But yeah, man, thanks a lot for joining me.
Thanks a lot, Jeremy. Thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it.
That about does it for this episode of Sucker Radio. Thank you to my guests, Dave the Voice Boyce, from This Boy's Life, The Voice Boy Show on SiriusXM, and Red fucking Dragons. Check them out. Google them. Find them. Do what you need to do. Thank you to him for breaking down some of this past weekend's fights. Thank you to Gary Gardarshan Manget, Saint Lion. This guy signed with Paradigm MMA. He spent the last weekend with Conor friggin' McGregor. So thanks to him for joining the show. And thank you to Tim, the Thrashing Machine Haig. This guy's been as part of Canadian mixed martial arts scene for quite some time. He's got a fight on Friday night against Tony Lopez, so check that out, Unified MMA. Thank you to all my guests. Thank you to you guys for listening. Make sure you follow MMA Sucka on Twitter, at MMA Sucka. Follow myself on Twitter, at JeremyBrand604. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/MMA Sucka. And thank you to my sponsors, ProAmBelts.com. They will take care of you if you need a championship belt. They can put your name on it. They can put fancy little dancy stuff on it. They can make it gold. They can make it silver. They can just bling the shit out of the belt and make it what you want. Check them out at ProAmBelts.com. Also, FloatHouse.ca. These guys have your sensory deprivation tank on point. If you want to get in there and get your mind relaxed, then check out floathouse.ca. They have a few locations in Vancouver, one opened up in Surrey. Just Google floathouse.ca or type in floathouse.ca into your, you know, computer and you will get it. I'd like to thank BC Kimonos. Head on over to bckimonos.ca and they will get you handled for your Christmas shopping if you want your Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu gi, no gi, any of that gear, they've got you covered. As well as Fusion Fight Gear. Check them out, fusionfightgear.com. Man, lots of sponsors today. fusionfightgear.com, they've got funky rash guards. Everything is licensed. They've got Top Gun, they've got Star Trek, they've got Street Fighter. They've got wicked rash guards, awesome spats, limited edition gis like a friggin' Spock gi from Star Trek. These things are absolutely awesome, so you gotta check them out at fusionfightgear.com. That about does it for this episode. So check me out on the flip side next week. Make sure you check out UFC on Fox 17 this Saturday night, as well as Unified MMA on Friday night. So with that, I'm out.